toy brings young Hungarians closer to the world their government censors. Information with a beat.
Folytatva a délutáni rendezvú műsorát, következőnek a Drifters együttes és On Broadway.
For uncensored news and music, millions of East Europeans switch on Radio Free Europe, the in-sound from outside. For facts about RFE in East Europe, write Radio Free Europe, Box 1971, Mount Vernon, New York.
We're here podcasting from behind the Iron Blue Curtain, and we're going to hold out as long as we can. Jeff Carlin, the executive producer of the Rokon Show with Anna DeVellantis on WGN Radio, he's back in the studio with his tubes and his radio equipment, scientific, making all these sounds and trying to get to you, trying to get these words to you. And I'm John Cass, here in an undisclosed location, waiting to meet a cell of three for security purposes only. I'm a husband, father, nationally syndicated columnist of the Chicago Tribune. Okay, so here in the basement, behind the Iron Blue Curtain, we're talking about those Covington kids and what's going on at City Hall with the Sith Lords and the Dark Side and the race for mayor. You've got Susana Mendoza freaking out because it's now out in the open that Danny Solis, the alderman, one of her patrons who dropped, what, $100,000 or so of political campaign money in her lap, is now a mole for the feds and has been wired. So maybe she'll show up on federal tape. And then you've got Tony Preckwinkle, Cook County Board President. She's freaking out, seeing her campaign fall apart because she had to admit that she met with Ed Burke privately to talk about opportunities for Burke's kid. That opportunity is a $100,000 job that you paid for, you chumbalones. Does Chicago need its last Jedi? I don't know. But we're going to ask about it right here on the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Hello.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun, he sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
You know, I wish we could have one of those fundraising commercials like the old ad for Radio Free Europe that was the CIA that Jeff played at the top of the show. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I can't have fundraising ads with Big Brother trying to find me here in the basement, behind the Iron Blue Curtain. Just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found free. You can subscribe free. Write us a great review. Again, free. Because the Chicago Way is the hot podcast around here. It's growing every day. And don't you want to be part of that for free? Would you think that was funny? Was there like a tiny little smirk playing on the end of your mouth? I'm funny? Funny how? The thing is, when you're out in public and you smirk, you should look at yourself in the mirror and see if you've got a smirk on your face right now. See that smirk? That smile? When you're being confronted? Let's say if you were confronted when maybe an Indian activist was pounding a drum with a little stick right in your face. You would have to watch your facial expression. Why? Well, think of this. Quote, "It was terribly dangerous to let your thoughts wander when you were in any public place or within range of a telescreen. The smallest thing could give you away. A nervous tick, an unconscious look of anxiety, a habit of muttering to yourself, anything that carried with it the suggestion of abnormality or having something to hide. In any case, to wear an improper expression on your face, to look incredulous, for example, when a victory was announced, was itself a punishable offense. There was even a word for it in newspeak. Face crime, it was called. George Orwell, 1984. Which brings me to what started it all. White Catholic kids in Make America Great Again hats. Just having a MAGA hat on with a white face, I guess, is grounds for public hatred now. Of course, there's a pushback to public hatred, and this will be dangerous. You know the story. Nick Sandman of Covington High School. What, a 15-year-old boy? And that angry old man, Native American activist, who got into his face, into the kid's personal space, pounding that drum, screaming at him, shouting. The black Israelite Hebrews screaming racial, vile, ethnic hate at the kids. And this one smirked or smiled. He didn't know what to do. Now the students and their families are being threatened with death. Prosecutors are investigating. The school's been closed. This is how it all starts, America. Not with threats to me or you, with threats to your kids. When people threaten your children, you generally have an irrational response. Sometimes that response goes far. Sometimes it ends in tragedy. I think everybody should step off the corner, take a few steps back, but realize that that child, that boy, was nervous, confronted. The Native American activist, the political activist with the, you know, singing, knew what he was doing. He was up there in the kid's face. This entire thing blew up on the left, on those hateful social media cyber warriors, barbarians. Many in the legitimate or so-called legitimate media, I call it the Democratic media complex that really angers many of my colleagues, who are so angry about that smirk. Did you see that interview on Today with Savannah Guthrie?
Do you feel that you owe anybody an apology? Do you see your own fault in any way?
As far as standing there, I had every right to do so. My position is that I was not disrespectful to Mr. Phillips. I respect him. I'd like to talk to him. I mean, in hindsight, I wish we could have walked away and avoided the whole thing.
What struck me was that sing-song voice of hers. That, do you feel you owe anybody an apology? Do you question, you fault yourself? Why is it his fault? His fault is because he's standing there like an American. He went to a March for Life protest. He wore a hat. People hated on him. He didn't hurt anybody. He just stood there. And he owes you an apology? He owes somebody an apology? We've lost it, America, if we're going to do that. The boys were wrongfully and publicly accused of confronting that Native American activist, Nathan Phillips. It was all highlighted in a short video, and then many of the media jumped on. CNN legal analyst Bakari Sellers wanted the boys to be punched in the face. He is deplorable, Sellers tweeted. Some people can be punched in the face. Now, wait a minute, Bakari. Would you want your son to be punched in the face? Do you want your daughter to be punched in the face? Let me give it to you. What if you had young women of color wearing pink pussy hats after having marched in the March for Women, you know, the one where the leaders are anti-Semitic and they hate Jews, that march? And all of a sudden, the girls are waiting for their bus. They're in their Catholic school clothes. They had their little march with their hats on. And here comes a 60-year-old white guy and starts playing a bongo and screaming at their face. Would you say, Bakari Sellers, that the girl should be punched in the face? I don't think so. He deleted his tweet, and so did CNN's Anna Navarro, who likened the Covington parents to asswipes. Yeah, asswipes. And then comes former CNN personality Reza Aslan. "Have you ever seen a more punchable face than this kid's?" he said. You know what was really depressing? Not that the what I call Democratic media complex, but that's what they are, gathered up and wanted violence on the kids. It's that the center right freaked out as well, reflexively, because the worst crime in America is to be called a racist by a Twitter mob. So the National Review put out a short piece saying that it was like the boys had spat on the cross. The archdiocese there at Covington, Kentucky, in the Covington High School, sided with the protesters against their own kids. This is all going to hell. The National Review removed the article when it became clear that the boys were the victims rather than the aggressors. This is the new debilitating fear in America. The cyber warriors of the left can accuse you of thought crime. They can swarm you. You can be attacked by cyber barbarians, giving license to others to join in the fray and tear a chunk of you out. Like jackals, like a pack of coyotes, they will shame you and cause you to lose your career and have everything taken away. Of course, it all depends on your politics. If your politics are their politics, they won't shame you. But if your politics are not their politics, they'll shame you. This is something we never thought possible, remotely possible, in the United States. And in any case, to wear an improper expression on your face, to look incredulous when victory was announced, for example, was itself a punishable offense. There was even a word for it in newspeak. Face crime, it was called. George Orwell, 1984. Don't you love it when Chicago politicians running at election time condemn the Chicago police code of silence? Didn't they do that just last week? They were all over the cops for their code of silence. They stood and said, oh, blah, 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 code of silence, it's terrible, blah, blah, blah. I saw Rahm do it, but then, you know, he'll do anything. Tony Preckwinkle? Susana Mendoza? Blah, 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 code of silence. But then, you know, when it comes to themselves, they don't really want to talk about the code of silence. They don't want to say anything, do they? Ed Burke is under federal investigation, charged with extortion, federal crime. And Danny Solis, Alderman Danny Solis, has been wired up by the feds against Burke. He's the mole. He's dropped a lot of money on Susana Mendoza. That's Rahm's favorite candidate. And Burke is sitting with Preckwinkle, talking to her. Hey, can you get a job for me? Can you get a job for my son? And she gives him a job, gives the kid a job, $100,000. Thanks, Greg Pratt from the Chicago Tribune, for breaking that story open. $100,000. And who's paying for it? You are, with your taxes. And they say nothing now. Nothing. Where's their code of silence now? To understand all this and the hypocrisy, you have to go deep. You have to go to the age of legends, when Chicago's political world was new. You have to understand the beginning of things, as it is explained by one of the first chairmen of the Democratic Party. Listen to him.
Let me help you to know the subtleties of the Force.
How do you know the ways of the Force?
My mentor taught me everything about the Force, even the nature of the dark side.
You know the dark side?
Anakin, if one is to understand the great mystery, one must study all its aspects, not just the dogmatic, narrow view of the Jedi. If you wish to become a complete and wise leader, you must embrace a larger view of the Force.
His mentor taught him everything about the Force, even though the nature of the dark side? Really? Okay, so here's the deal here. Okay, so we get it. Toni Preckwinkle just had a news conference a day or so ago. She said, I had a meeting with Ed Burke. He shared with me that his son was looking for a new opportunity. Really, Preckwinkle? Really? Look, Toni Preckwinkle is probably the least connected one to Burke. Of the other candidates, I'd say Gary Chico and Susana Mendoza, you know, is all but spawned by Burke. I know that her people, Rahm's people, will accuse me of being sexist for using the word spawned. But I would say also that Gary Chico has been spawned by Burke. Does that make me a sexist because Gary Chico is ostensibly a man? I think he is. No offense, Gary, if you're not, but Susana Mendoza, too. I don't care about your gender. I don't care about your gender, you weasels. I care about who you're carrying water for. The one thing is clear, they're not carrying water for the taxpayers. They talk a good game. Susana talks a good game, how she's going to defend the taxpayers. And Tony. Tony's the third one, like I said, behind Burke. I mean, she's really not the pal of Burke, but he raised money for her. He was allegedly shaking down that company, the Burger King, and then he got them to kick into Tony. And Tony met with Burke to talk about his son. I had a meeting with Ed Burke. He shared with me that his son was looking for a new opportunity. Well, really? What about your kids or my kids? I've got two sons. Tony, can you get them a job? Get them two jobs, $100,000 apiece as exercise coordinators for Homeland Security Department of Cook County Government? What garbage exercise coordinators. Let's do up-downs. Let's do push-ups. 100,000? Well, I don't know. My kids would like that job. Would yours? Would your kid, you're listening, do you have children? You. Or would you like a $100,000 job? Is this where we say bye Felicia to Tony? The problem is, of course, she's the third of this group of post-Romulans, the ones who thought it was safe to get in after Rom dropped out. She's the third least connected. But Burke raised money for her. He allegedly shook down that Burger King real estate group and told them to kick in to Tony, and they did. He had a fundraiser for her at his house, Toni Preckwinkle. Then he gets, my opinion, he gets Gary Chico to get in the race. You know, Latino, kind of stop Susana Mendoza, who's now totally with Rahm. The whole thing's a joke. And it all started, you know, when it started with the Sun-Times finding out that Danny Solis wore a wire for the feds on Burke, Franz Spielman, another Sun-Times reporter, great story. What we don't know is what Danny said. All right, why do you wear a fed? Why do you wear a wire? Because you want to be a crime fighter? No, you wear a wire because you get caught, at least if you're a politician. You get caught doing something. So he'll be charged. And if he's not charged, he'll be cooperating witness. And it'll all be out there. And then Danny Solis can explain what he did. And his defense attorneys will explain what he did because the prosecution will explain it. And somebody else may have been talked to, you know? Like, you think Danny Solis, let's see, he dropped $100,000. Danny and his sister Patty, you know, Hillary Clinton's friend, dropped $100,000 on Susana Mendoza. You don't think they talked to her? Sure they did. Sure he talked to her. He talked to Susana. She becomes mayor. Will she be on federal tape? Kind of like, you know, how J.B. Pritzker's on with Blagojevich, talking about his African-American problem. This whole thing is blowing up. It's blowing up on the post-Romulans? I've told you, they should have got out. They should never have been in this race. Paul Vallis, Lori Lightfoot, okay. Gary McCarthy, you know, I don't think he can run the city, but he was in there at the beginning. So was Willie Wilson. These other people. And I didn't even mention Daley. Okay, Bill Daley. The Daleys are technically not friends with the Burks, but they're in the same group, that same warlord mentality, that same Chicago is our boodle, let's take it. And don't forget that Bill Daley brokered a deal between Rich Daley and Burke so that Burke would stay on as chairman of the finance committee and control things the way he controlled things, like the $100 million fund in the workers' compensation business. There's a lot here, Chicago. Remember this. You might want to go think about finding a Jedi. There are a lot of Sith Lords here, and they're all playing their little plots. And they have sharp teeth, and you can see the saliva kind of drip from their teeth as they speak. You need a Jedi. Is there a Jedi out there to come to Chicago's rescue? It better happen soon. Because if it doesn't happen, well, you know what happens then. For Jeff Carlin, WGN producer of the Rokon Show with Anna DeVellantis. For me, John Cass, husband, father, nationally syndicated columnist of the Chicago Tribune. This has been another edition of the Chicago Way. Talk to you next time.